Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversations about topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Aubrey.
All right, let's get started.
All right, guys, we got a special guest with us tonight. This is Aubrey King that we have invited to come onto our podcast, full of wisdom.
Woo woo.
Yes, we're so excited. So I wanted to start off by asking you a question, because Aubrey King...
Whoa, got to take a test already.
Man, tell me, how in the world did you get a nickname as Skeeter?
That's a good question. And as Tommy's laughing, it's got a little humor to it. I walked real early. At 7 months old, I was walking. And I got into stuff. And I was walking under tables and everything. And my favorite aunt, her name was Jewel Hensley, she says to my mother, "Well, he's just a little Skeeter." And so it stuck.
It stuck. All right.
That's it.
There we go.
Skeeter. It's with a K, too.
Your wife didn't give it to you for being annoying, like a Skeeter?
No.
Nothing like that.
That's what I was thinking.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll ask her.
Okay. That's a true story.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Skeeter. I'm going to start calling you Skeeter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That nephew that I was telling you about earlier that I hadn't seen in 50 years.
Yeah.
He...
Was he Gnat?
He calls me Gnat. He calls me Uncle Skeeter.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'll call you Grandpa Skeeter.
For those of you listening, and Aubrey just had his 80th birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Yeah. My dad turns 80 next week.
Wow.
So Aubrey's like a second
dad. Aubrey could be
me.
Your dad. My grandpa turned 80. So he could be like my grandpa.
Yeah.
Well, my grandpa's a little older than me. Okay.
Well, Tommy, if Aubrey's name was Skeeter, what was your nickname growing up? I can only imagine.
What, I mean,
Did it have something to do with tom-toms?
No. It had something to do with my last name. Add a Y on the end.
Dookie. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
But that was rough as a kid.
That was fine. No, so.
Sure.
Okay. A lot of people have bad names, and if that's the worst you can do, I mean, my name's not bad.
I mean, it's not Skeeter.
Well, but what's yours?
Well, I didn't really have a nickname, because my middle name is Con, C-O-N.
That's with.
And that's just weird.
Isn't that with in Spanish?
It is. So which makes sense. Jeffrey with Daughtney goes together first.
That makes
and last
sense
name.
For no one.
So you're Jeffrey Con...
Gautney.
Gautney.
I asked my mom when I was little.
C-O-N.
C-O-N. I had an uncle, great uncle, named Lacon, and my dad thought it was such a beautiful name, and he wanted to name me Jeffrey.
I mean,
Con.
The only thing only time I use that word is when we're in Colombia, and I'll be like, I want some chips con queso.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. But you said that really well.
Thank you. Colombia, some chips con queso. But chips is not Spanish.
No. But that was so good.
Yeah. What's chips?
Well, I mean, you've got a variety of ways to say that, right? Like we could say, hey, man, give me some Doritos. Give me some nachos. Give me some papas.
Papas. Right? Yeah.
Papas fritas.
Papas fritas.
Can be both chips and french fries.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway. All right. We're way off topic.
But, yeah, we are.
Yeah. So one of the things that we had the privilege of doing was going to a young man who just turned 16, and his father, pouring into him, wanted to have kind of like a gathering of men that love the Lord.
Now, you're talking about you and Skeeter.
Yeah, me and Skeeter were invited
to
this.
Just want to make sure we're clear.
And Tommy was not.
I was not invited to
this.
It was a matter of wisdom, right?
It was a matter of wisdom. Exactly right, Brother Aubrey. That's right. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Maybe next time, Tommy.
You're growing.
That's right.
Hey, my shirt. Right. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute.
So we were invited to this gathering of men to pour wisdom into a young man turning 16. And so his father wanted other men to speak into his life instead of just him, which I can appreciate. I get that. And man, it turned out to be just such a sweet time. And so we wanted to kind of dedicate this podcast to that experience, because what Brother Aubrey shared was so insightful, and I lean on him for wisdom. I lean on him for just that experiential aspect of life, that he's lived life. He's been around enough to see consistency and see inconsistency and what really matters in the end. And how long have you been married, Brother Aubrey?
I've been married 62 years.
62 years. Who can say that? Wow. Right? That's impressive.
To the same woman.
That's, yes.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Clarify that.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Yeah. Shout out to Nita. So sticking with Aubrey for 62 years, that's an accomplishment all in itself, isn't it?
It is.
So what we want to do with this podcast is just really to kind of talk about some of those aspects, Brother Aubrey, that you shared with this young man about what's important, you know, as a 16-year-old in today's world, and the things that are on the horizon for him. Why don't you share with us just a couple of things, and we'll kind of chime in and ask some questions along the way. But what were some of those things?
Well, you have to remember that one of the things that old folks suffer from is loss of memory.
Yeah.
But I haven't lost my memory on that.
When Skeeter was 16, he was hanging around Moses. And so give him some slack.
We talked about friendship, the people that you pick for your friends, how important they were, how important they are, the value of the right friend, a friend that will challenge you, a friend that loves you,
friend
cares
that will
about
lift you up when you need lifting up.
Yeah, has loyalty, you know, that a good friends. And
they're rare.
Yeah, they are rare. Count on your hands the number of friends, I mean really good friends, that you can bear your soul with, tell truth to, and have confidence that it'll stay with that friend.
Right.
They're rare.
Yeah.
They're rare. I had a couple in my life, a young man named David Bell, who is dead. He broke his neck 1962 on Father's Day and was a quadriplegic, and he died as a young man. The best friend that I ever had, David never went to church as a kid, and I went to church every Sunday. My dad was a deacon, and David was a better human being than I was. He was a better person than I was. And he would challenge me. And we were in our early teens, 13 and 14, about doing right. And no, this is wrong. We're not going to do that. He was just a good person as far as the world goes. And in the early 70s, like our late 60s, 69 maybe, there was a big revival out in Fraser. Bob Harrington was doing that revival. He was called the chaplain of Bourbon Street, and he was the Southern Baptist Association there in the Fraser area. Churches got together. And anyway, he did the revival. And I finally talked David into going to church with me, going to that revival with me. And he said, okay, I'll go.
How old were you at this time?
I was like 24.
Okay. And he's the same age as you?
23. Okay. He's a year younger.
Okay.
And so I got David, and so like I had to go pick him up, help him get in the car, put his wheelchair back there. If we got something to eat, I'd have to feed it to him, help him get his drink.
Well, how old was he when he had that accident?
He was 16.
Oh, okay. Did you say that? You may have said
no,
that.
No, he didn't say. I was in the Army. I was 17 and had been in the Army. And when I came home on one of my first leaves, they told me that David had broke his neck on Father's Day at Moon Lake, just swimming, freak accident. So anyway, we're at the revival tent meeting, and I had been talking to David about his ever-living, never-dying soul and about eternity and about heaven and hell and needed to have his sin forgiven, and he didn't want to hear none of that. And
what was his biggest hang-up? Do you recall? What was his...
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't. Why he didn't want to go to church, I don't know. But anyway, he went to that revival meeting, and it was like on a Thursday or Friday night, and Bob Harrington preached, and he preached, the name of the sermon was S-I-N, and the I was a big capital, sin. And so he preached, and he preached the Word of God, and he gave the gospel. And during the invitation, David looked over at me, was out in the car. We couldn't get inside, so I pulled up front sort of in, at an angle so he could see. And David looked over at me, and he said, Skeeter, I ain't ever done that. I want to be a Christian. And I said, David, well, we can sure do that. And we talked just a little bit. He'd already heard the gospel. I just reviewed a couple of verses with him out of the book of Romans and asked David if that first, that famous verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, David, do you want to do that? And he said, yes, I do. And he bowed his head, and he prayed, and he asked God to forgive him of his sins and to save him and make a Christian out of him. And I, when the prayer was over, I said, David, according to that same book in Romans, I think it's verse 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that, David? And he looked at me and said, yes, I did. I said, David, according to the Word of God, you're saved. You're a Christian person. And he wanted to tell Bob Harrington. He wanted him to know. And I said, that's a good sign because we're supposed to share.
Yeah, confess with your mouth.
Yeah. I went down and hung around while people were talking. And finally, I could speak to Bob Harrington. And I told him about David. And he was just all smiles. And he, like, ran out there to my car, knelt down there by the door where David was at, talked with David for a while, and prayed with David. And the beauty of this story is not just that David got born again. So David wanted to go to church, and David wanted to be baptized. And so his daddy's name was John Bell, good man, good guy. And he would take David to Georgian Hills Baptist Church, and he'd go back home, and then when Sunday school and church was over, he would come get David. So he got tired of making all the trips, and so he started sitting in the back. Well, wouldn't you know that on a Sunday, the invitation was given, and here comes John Bell down the aisle to receive the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Well, David had been baptized. They baptized him, chair and all. You know, they put him in that wheel, and he baptized.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. And so John got saved. His wife got saved. Their son, Tim, got saved. So there, the beautiful way the gospel is spread. So that was my best friend, David, and a story about him and how he got saved. And we're talking about friendships in this young man and how important those friendships are.
Right.
I miss David to this day.
Yeah.
He was a good friend.
So he was 23, you said, when he made that decision? Is that correct?
Yes.
How much longer did he live?
He never made it to 30. Yeah. I think he was 27 or 29 when he died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that decision he made, which you obviously helped him through and had a big influence in his life, caused those ripple effects. Like, you know, right. I just imagine that when you're talking, that rock hitting that water and those ripples.
Yeah.
And how just the whole generation change.
Yeah.
Whole generation change. You know, talking about the, what was this called when you went to this? When y'all went,
well, there's a
coming
book.
Of eight, what is it?
There's a book. So if you have a young boy, it's called Raising a Modern Day Knight. And so it was inspired through that. Coming up with rites of passages. Rites of passages used to be a big deal in our culture even. But you think about Jewish culture and bar mitzvah.
They have the bar mitzvah, yeah.
Right? You have all these different coming of age, you know, for different things in different cultures. And so we've kind of lost that along the way. And so this is what this was, kind of bringing that
so
back in.
Did they call it, like, when you got an invitation? Because remember, I didn't get invited.
Right.
So the invitation say something on it?
Wise people only? Something like that.
Old people is what I'm hearing. So old people.
No, it didn't have a specific thing
okay,
to
like,
it.
Okay, yeah. Anyway. What I think is genius about this, though, is that even with my own kids, a lot of times I'll say something, it'll be the greatest thing ever. Yeah. They don't want to hear it from me.
Right.
They need to hear it from others.
Or it becomes a white noise. You said it so many times. Yeah.
So I may have you guys come over my house.
Right. Well, my boys were present because they're really good friends with this particular young man. And so they got to hear man after man after man say the same things that I've been saying, but it just hits differently when it's somebody else who's like, oh, okay, so dad isn't crazy.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Well, and the last thing, well, I'll say this on the friendship piece. I've always felt like you are the company you keep.
Exactly.
And that's why, you know, when we become a believer, it's important for us to make sure that we surround ourselves with strong, believing men who can help guide us and show us, and through wisdom, they've done it. They've been there, and now as we mature in our faith, then we do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We share that with, you know, I say younger, but maybe younger believers, less, you know, mature believers.
Yeah.
So
yeah, friendships are huge, and I think the point that I added kind of on that same boat was one thing that my pastor told me as a high school senior, and he said, what you do plus who you hang around equals who you become. Mm-hmm. And there's so much truth that I've seen it over and over and over again. And I saw it in my life. Like, I had a job once where, you know, I was working at UPS and just stocking trucks in the morning before I went to seminary.
You worked on a sort?
I did.
Oh, Lord.
I did. I really enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy being there at 4 a.m., but my supervisor was a 50-year-old teenager, basically, just super immature, would mock me constantly about my faith. He knew I was in seminaries, you know, training to be a missionary and to go overseas and all that kind of stuff. And he would just constantly, daily, it just that negativity, just that constant, it just affected my whole outlook on the day, because that's how I started every day. And I saw that what I did plus who I hung around and how that affected me. And but I've seen that so many times with people too, that you think are solid in their faith, but then they get a new job and start hanging around different people and trying to impress them, and then before you know it, they're just like them, and they miss the boat. So friendships are, to me, that's huge. And that's what I told this young man. I told him that he was an answer to prayer for me, for my kids, because every move that we made, that's one thing that we pray for specifically for each of us, is great friendships, because it's so vital to our growth and in the faith. So
I think that's, you know, to the power and importance of the men's group that we have, too, some of these guys coming in are new to the faith, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what that means to them and their family. And they're, a lot of them, just like, I mean, me, when I was saved, I had friends that, you know, I had a friend group that wasn't saved, and I had to change that.
Right.
And it wasn't immediate, but over time, as you start to desires, the Lord, the Holy Spirit starts working inside you, you start to desire different things.
Sure.
And through that change, you know, seek out, you should, you know, be seeking out others. And, you know, our men's group has grown so much.
Right.
You know, speaking of the men's group, Justin's not here today. So Aubrey is sitting in Justin's spot. And before we started.
Much wiser, by the way.
Much better looking,
right?
Better looking,
dressed better.
Oh, I mean, like, he's dressed for camera,
right?
But he did mention, Aubrey mentioned the jankiness of the mic stand that Justin's
really, really cheap, you guys.
Cheap, like
really cheap. We found this upstairs, and you gotta hold it just
right. Got springs on it. I mean, it's
yeah.
So we're sorry. We're sorry, Skeeter, that you have a janky mic stand.
It's not going to fall on me.
I don't know.
We can't make any promises.
We need you to sign this waiver. But Justin is so cheap. Now, he spends a fortune on those orthopedic sandals.
That's true. That's maybe why. Maybe it is. But he's a good friend.
He's a great friend.
He's a great friend.
He was one of those friends that I'll say anything to.
Right.
That I'll lean into for wisdom, and I'll call him out when I need to.
Yeah. We love him, man, but he needs some help with fashion.
But that's kind of the penalty for not being here.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
He's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy.
We're all busy.
Right.
So.
But, you know, kind of tying back in to the friendships and the importance of all those. Brother Aubrey, you shared an important thing about standing on your faith, even if that means you stand on an island by yourself.
Standing alone,
And sometimes it feels that way. You know, I mean, and I remember, you know, really stepping out in faith as a young man and getting ready to go overseas and telling my best friend from high school that this is what I was going to do, and he disappeared from my life. Like, he just couldn't handle me leaving and going, and he just went the opposite direction and just killed me. I mean, he was super close to me, but you know, you think in that, like, I'm doing a good thing. I'm following the Lord. Good things are going to happen, and good things do, but also things that you're not prepared for, like losing friendships that you thought were friends, you know, happens as well. And sometimes it feels lonely.
There are different levels of friendship too, aren't there?
There are.
There are acquaintances. And then, like, this person perhaps was your friend simply because of the value or what he got out of that friendship,
right,
rather than what he could put into that friendship.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. I think they use that term using, you know, people using you for whatever reason. A true friend is hard to come by.
Yeah.
You know, the beauty about standing alone for your faith is that you're never alone, truly alone.
Right.
And
true.
I know when I am really focused on the Lord and my relationship, I don't even feel alone when I am alone.
Right.
So that's one thing, you know, that's really, you know, I think is really cool about that.
I can't remember the verse, but Paul was being questioned during one of his trials, and he made the comment, "No man stood with me." But the Lord stood with me.
Right.
Yeah, so the Lord is always present with us. And you're right, Tommy. We are never truly alone.
Yeah. I think one of the other aspects of this that I tried to emphasize, just because my boys are the same age as this young man, is, and it was great to hear other men say it, but when you're looking for someone to marry, like, that person should be your best friend, someone you enjoy doing life with. Somebody that loves the Lord. And one man in particular shared, he said, and I thought it was insightful. He's like, you can take on a car as a project. You can take on a house as a project. You don't take on a spouse as a project. Like, you're going to fix that person and make that person into something that you want one day. And I mean, I can testify relationship after relationship that I've seen where that has gone awry. And so... choosing wisely who you choose to do life with, I said, is the second most important decision apart from following Christ, because you're going to walk through life's biggest trials and difficulties together, and you need somebody that's solid that's going to be there with you. And so, just kind of talking along that line, but I thought what you said too, being willing to stand alone in that, even as a couple, you know, we're on a mission together. And sometimes it's hard. It gets even harder. So to find true friends is hard, but to try find true friends that are then couples, you know, the husbands get along, but then maybe the wives don't, or the wives get along and the husbands don't, you know. So finding couples to do life with too is, then you throw kids in the mix. And
yeah, you know, one of the things that really perplexes me is, as I look back in life and look at the other couples, I can't imagine living two lives. Like, you know, the wife and the husband, they're employed, they work, they make money, and they have their own separate accounts.
Right.
Rather than being in unity with one another and being husband and wife, and as you say, true friends. And that that special unity where my wife and I have always had one checking account. We don't have any other checking accounts. I have my money that's in my wallet that I may be saving. She has hers. She certainly has her independence. But we share life together. We share finances together. And we share love together. And I don't understand the families today that what's mine is mine. And what's yours is yours. I don't understand that thinking between a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
It just it's the little things that can start seemingly small and they can go greater and greater and greater, mm-hmm. to creating that wedge, yeah. that division. There's nothing more than Satan wants to do than to break up the family, and
right.
he can start small and plant these seeds of, well, different bank accounts. You can spend yours. That's just where it starts. Mm-hmm. And then what's next? Oh, let's get two full-size beds and put them together. Oh, let's spread them apart. You know what? Let me go in this other room now. Mm-hmm. I'm halfway joking because my wife, sometimes she scoots over on my side of the bed. I'm like, seriously, here's the line.
Right.
The line of demarcation right here. And your pillows and your blankets, your yeah. furry stuff is on me. And like, I don't like it touching my skin. She's like, well, why don't you just get another bed?
Right.
And I'm like, no. We're gonna stay together,
right? And you're gonna, fighting this,
and you're going, but you're gonna stay on this line. your furry blankets, and
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. I think lastly, we got a few more minutes here, but Brother Aubrey, one of the other points that you made to this young man was that to love the Word of God, love truth, study it, and you said this. You said, "I'm 80 years old, and I'm still learning." And that's something that sticks with us is the fact that, you know, there is this temptation to get to retirement and then feel like you can just kind of coast through the rest. But you have always been an avid learner. You're a reader. I find you all the time reading new things, discussing things, investing in men. And that's something that's been inspirational to me is to watch that in you. So speak to that. You know, what do you mean as far as being someone committed to the Word of God? What does that look like for you?
I learned early to appreciate the words. I was taught that the Word of God is verbally inspired, not thoughts, but the words. And so the words became very important to me, and so I started paying attention to words and looking up back then in Strong's Analytical Concordance, the different words, what the words mean, what the meaning of the word was, and to pay attention to the context where that was used, because context is everything. So the words became important, and individual Bible study, to study the words, to look the words up in original language. Mm. It takes a little time, but it is so rewarding. For example, we were in Romans chapter 5 today in our Bible study group, and I think maybe it was either the passage verses 6 through 8, the word for, F-O-R, is used a couple of times, and two completely different words. One was the Greek word gar, gamma, alpha, rho, and the other was, I can't remember the word, had a completely different meaning. Hmm. It meant not just for this, not the conjunctive word for, but in the place of, Christ died for us. Mm. Christ died for us. So the words become very important, and I can't tell you how much that has blessed me personally in my personal Bible study. Just pay attention to the words. Look some words up.
Yeah.
The good words of the Bible doctrines, you know, and study those words.
Yeah.
And I still do it.
Well, context matters, right, Tommy?
It sure does.
Tommy just had a birthday.
I did.
He's 46.
Not 80.
Whew. He's 46.
Not what? Well,
he said not
80. Not 80.
You're halfway to 92,
I'm twice
though.
As old as you are.
But I got Tommy a shirt.
What and, does it say?
It made me laugh. It said, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. And that's pretty appropriate for what we're talking about.
I'm wearing it right now.
Yeah.
It made me laugh because we just went to Zambia and did a whole study on how to interpret scripture. Because you can take one verse and you can misinterpret it and use it out of context. And you can go awry quickly with all of that. And so
You can bend the scripture to your own desire. And that's dangerous.
Yeah. Very dangerous.
Very.
Yeah. So people use that verse all the time for.
There's one thing before we close out. There's one thing that I'd like to add to this conversation because, you know, I have a son. He's 17. And, you know, I want nothing more for him. I want nothing more for him than to just desire to chase the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
If that starts with a daily devotional, reading, praying, I didn't do that as a kid.
Right.
I didn't do that. And some could say, well, you turned out okay. I don't want him to turn out okay.
Right.
I don't want him to be like me. I want him to learn from what I regret and what I didn't do and to do. So, Aubrey, I'm going to ask you this. So what, you know, advice do you have for a father like me who has a son, and he's not a bad kid by any means, but he doesn't chase the Lord.
You want him to.
Like I want him to. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's going to sound common, Tommy, but of course, and I know that you do. Pray for that child.
Yeah. I definitely do. Prayer works.
And then do you spend any time with him?
Oh, 100%.
Doing that. So that would be important. And I guess I want to say this to you. Allow him to be himself.
Yeah.
Don't try to live your life through him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? The book, I can't remember its address anymore, but the verse in Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he was old, he'll not depart from it. Mm-hmm. I read from a pastor about that verse, and he said there was some confusion about the phrase "train up a child in the way that he should go." The way that he should go. The way that he is bent. A parent is supposed to pay close attention to their children, and to find out what their inclinations are. And help them in those areas. There are some children, some young men and women who should be never going to college. They should be in a vocation school, learning to do things with their hands and to draw to other things other than just straight up college. In the way that he is bent, cooperate with God in the way that God has created that child, and help that child see those things and develop them in that area. Yeah. To chase after God, I think leave some of that pursuing to God.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's really good. I think about times where, you know, as a teenager, when I was tempted to go with a different crowd or go a different direction, and I came home one night and I just saw my mom on her knees by her bed, and I knew she was praying for me. And that changes everything.
Yep.
But yeah, that's wise right there. Find what they're naturally desire to, and then teach them how to glorify God in that. That's huge.
Well, God has put those things in them.
And that's in their heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, and then my consistency is important for that. So.
That's true.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Brother Aubrey, I can't thank you enough for joining us. I think Justin might be in trouble and losing a spot. What do you think?
Wow. Yeah. Aubrey, did you have fun?
I did. I was blessed.
You'll come back?
I will. I'd be glad to.
All right. He's got stories for days.
I know.
So,
we're going to hear them. I was intrigued just the whole time you talk, Aubrey. I'm very interested. Yeah. So thank you so much.
You're more than kind, and I was blessed to be here. So thank you for having me.
Awesome. Tonight. We love you. Thanks for tuning in, guys.